Father, I come before you this morning and give you all the honor, glory, and praise. I want to say thank you, Lord, for being God. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up another day. Not only did you wake us up another day, you woke us up in our right mind to know that you are the only true God. Lord, Heavenly Father, you must increase in our lives today, and we must decrease. Each and every day we wake up, oh Father God, you must increase in our lives, and we must decrease, oh Father God. And so, Lord, we ask, Father God, that you would just continue to hear our prayers. And we thank you. We give you honor, glory, and praise, oh Lord Jesus. We praise you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your compassion, your obedience, your commitment, your holiness, and your righteousness. Your praise will be continually in our mouths, oh Father God, not only just on Sundays, but every day. We will praise you for who you are. We will worship you with a heart of worship, a life of worship. We will worship you in spirit and in truth each and every day, Lord. Lord, we lift up our children today. We commit all of them unto you, oh Father God. Set them apart from this world that they will not be influenced by the evilness of this world, oh Father God, and the wickedness of it. Lord, I pray for the unborn this morning. I thank you for those babies, Father God, who have been saved of these 40 days of life, which we have been going over there praying on Stone Street, oh Father God, at this Planned Parenthood butcher shop. We thank you, Father God, there's been over 100 and something babies been saved, oh Father God. And Lord, we pray, Father God, that there'll be many, many more, that you change the hearts and the minds of those mothers, oh Father God, that are thinking about terminating their babies. Lord, we pray for those who are doing that butchering and killing the babies, that you will move upon their hearts, that they will see that what they're doing is a sin and an abomination against you. So, Lord, we pray, Father God, for those in the nursing homes also and hospitals. We pray, Father, for healing. We pray, Father God, for protection. For those who are traveling mercy. We pray for the nation of Israel, oh, Father God, that you will stop that nonsense of killing and hostage taking and all the evilness that's over there, oh Father God, and that you would comfort the family members and loved ones who have lost family members and loved ones. And Lord, I pray that for the Palestinians also. I pray that you'll move upon their hearts, oh Lord Jesus, that they will come to the true knowledge of Jesus Christ, oh Father God, in this conflict that they're going through. Lord, I pray for this nation that we live in, the greatest nation in the world. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for the greatness of this nation. But Lord, we have to ask for forgiveness of the sin and iniquity, oh Father God, this nation have come up under. Lord, we ask, Father, that you will pour out your spirit upon us. We will fall upon our faces and call upon your name for healing for this land, oh Father. Lord, we pray, Father God, for the universal church, that we will come together as one and stop competing with one another. That we will come and complete each other. We are the body of Christ. Regardless, oh Father God, of the denominations, oh Lord Jesus, as long as they're under your lordship. But Lord, let us come together as one body, because there's one body, one head, and one spirit. So let us come together, oh God, in peace and harmony. I pray for the family unit to be strengthened, stronger than it's ever been, to reconcile those, Father God, in the families that are fighting with one another and hating one another. I pray, Father God, for the marriage unit, oh Lord Jesus, that you strengthen the marriage unit stronger than it's ever been. Lord, just have your way here today, Lord. Lord, give us ears to hear what you have to say to the Lord, us today, Lord, that we won't walk out of here that we won't walk out here the way we walked in, that we'll have a greater measure of truth, oh Father God, that we will hear your word, not only be hearers of your word, but be doers of your word. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Sunday school, kids. All you kids, go to Sunday school, church, children's church. Dad, if you want to take them down there for the first time, you can, and then bring them back up. Yeah, okay. And for those of you who have children, they will not be released unless you come down there and get them. You got to go down there and pick them up. Praise the Lord. I love these kids. Okay. Whew. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus, Exodus 22. Now, some of you hearing today, you're not going to like what you hear. Some of you are going to reject what you hear today. Some of you here today might learn something that you didn't know before. I don't know. But you know, in the book of Hosea, I think it's 6:4, it says, "My people perish because of a lack of knowledge." My people, they perish because of a lack of knowledge. And in another translation, it says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." You know, if we don't know something, and if we're walking down a train track and don't realize that a train is coming, and you stay on that train track, what's going to happen? Train going to hit you. Train going to hit you. So, you know, a lot of us are going down a train track and don't realize what's coming down the train. But I want to share with you this morning, you know, some things that we all in our life have done. A tradition that we've all done in our life. And we all have traditions, don't we? November, I think it's the 24th, that tradition of what? Thanksgiving. Tradition is we go to our family homes or family and you cook what? Turkey, dressing, you know, macaroni and cheese, potato salad, you know, peach pie, apple pie, you know, all that. Yeah, that's a tradition, right? And you've been doing it for many, many years, going through that tradition. The 25th of December, tradition is what? We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. We celebrate giving gifts to one another and receiving gifts to one another, right? Praise the Lord. Traditions. We all have different traditions that we've been doing, and we've been doing it over and over and over for many, many years. But this tradition that I'm talking about that is about to come up here in a couple of days, let me tell you something. We as Christians need to know the truth about it. Because the enemy comes as an angel of light. You know, he comes as an angel of light to try to make you think what is wrong is right. What is evil is good. But I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says about this tradition that we're about to have in a couple of days. Anybody know what that is? What the name of it is? Halloween. What is it? Halloween. Do you know what Halloween means? Yeah. Holy evening. Holy evening. Hallowed, holy. Ween is evening. Holy evening. It's anything but a holy evening, church. You hear what I'm saying? It's anything but a holy evening. Now, we all as children participated in this, didn't we? We all dressed up in different costumes or whatever. We got our bags and went and knocked on the door and we said what? Trick or treat! Everything's good with that, right? There's nothing wrong with that, right? Oh, we've all had a wonderful time doing it, right? Not knowing the origin or the reason why this day is celebrated. I'm going to tell you today why it was celebrated and the origins of it. You know, I was thinking last night, because this is something I bring forth a teaching of this every year. And I said, you know, I know they're tired of hearing me talk about this here. But maybe you never heard anybody talk about this Day of the Dead. Because that's what Tuesday the 31st represents, is the Day of the Dead. God said, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a what? A power, love, and a sound mind. And everything about this Day of the Dead, it is represents what? Fear. They have these haunted houses that you pay to go in to be scared. Right? Why do we want to have something scare us? Watching these scary movies. You know, the TV and the movies are full of scary movies now. I mean, ain't nothing but scary movies on and on and on and on to scare you. That's not of God. And the tragic part about it is we do that to our children also. We do that to our children also. Why would you want your child to be scared instead of feeling joy and peace and feeling safe? But yet we want to send them out on the 31st to be scared. You say, oh, Pastor, you're making too much of this. You know, the kids love it. There's nothing wrong with it. Once you hear the truth about that, you make a decision of yourself. Like I say, some of y'all are going to accept this today and some of you are not. I already know that. Some of you might get up and walk out. I already know that. You know, but I have to bring forth to you the truth about the 31st of October. I'm going to bring you the truth about that. And once again, you know, it's up to you whether you receive it or not. You know, how much money is spent on this one day? $12.2 billion. Last year, it was $10.6 billion. Year before that, it was $8.4 billion. The year before that, it was $2.5 billion. But it's gone from $2.5 billion to $12.2 billion that is spent on this one day of the dead. Isn't that something? Do you know what that $12.2 billion can do for the mission field or for those homeless that are here, for the hungry that is here? For those who are going through all type of different stuff. But yet, society, and this is just in the United States of America, that this is spent. 12.2. You know, each person is going to spend $108.24, they say. $108.24. $6 billion is spent on candy. Do you know that? Yes. But anyway, the book of Exodus 22 and 18. Are you there? 22 and 18. You there? Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Now, please get in your Bible and read that, because I don't want you to think that I'm making that up. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. So in the Bible it says, for those who are in witchcraft, who are in the occult, who are practicing demonic practices and spells and curses, it says that they shall not live. Ain't that what the Word of God said? That ain't what the pastor said. That's what the Word of God said. So why is it that we're going to Walmart and these other places and buying our little children, our little girls, witches' costumes to go out here and trick-or-treat? Why would you allow your child to be put on a costume of a witch to go out in the name of fun? Right? But you heard what the Word of God said. Let's go to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19 and 31. When you get this, amen. Regard not them that have familiar spirits. Regard not them that have, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Let me read that again. Regard not them that have familiar spirits. Do you know what a familiar spirit is? A familiar spirit is a spirit from the dead. It's a familiar spirit from the dead. When y'all go see these mediums and these psychics, nobody in here do that. What they do is they call up the spirits of the dead, familiar spirits. We should have nothing to do with that, saints. and the wizards. How many have dressed their kids up in Wizard House costumes? Let me tell you something. And who's the one of the biggest wizards that our kids are influenced by today? Harry Potter. Oh, but our kids love Harry Potter. We read all his books and they love to read his book. You're reading something from the pits of hell. Do you know here years ago, a little boy had read Harry Potter, watched Harry Potter, and he had some type of a green liquid that would turn him into a wizard or something. He went up under the shelf of his in his daddy's garage and got some antifreeze and gave it to his little brother because of what he saw and read in Harry Potter. And there's many, many other instances of things that happen because of this demonic thing. Don't let your children read Harry Potter and these games that they have. And y'all have no idea the demonic influences. This Yu-Gi-Oh! James and that, and what's this other one? Pokemon from the pits of hell. From the pits of hell. It seems so innocent. Why do you think your child is so interested in these games? And when you take it away from them, they cry, they get mad. And there's been cases whereas the children have killed the parents because they've taken away these games from them. Why do you think that is? That they have such an influence on our children for that? They're from the pits of hell. And we need to be careful, saints. Now let's go to Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 10 and 2. Jeremiah 10 and 2. When you get to say amen. Amen. Thus says the Lord, not pastor. Thus says the Lord, not pastor. Learn not the ways of the heathen, and do not be dismayed at the signs of the heavens, for the heavens are dismayed at them. Learn not the way of the heathens. We should not learn the traditions and the ways of those who are outside of the covenant of God. The Bible says, be ye separated, come out from amongst them, touch no unclean thing. Ain't that what the Word of God said? Be ye separated. Why should we be engaged in things that are not of God? Especially to the degree of this Day of the Dead. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10 and 20. When you get this, amen. Need a couple more amens. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. How many have dressed your kids up in little devil outfits and sent them out on the Day of the Dead? You cannot drink from the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. What he's saying is, you can't be a part of the things of the world, to traditions of the world, and the traditions and the things of God. Amen. You just can't. But unfortunately, a lot of Christians do. A lot of Christians do. You know, and once again, there's churches today that got their kids in the church running around with witches costumes on, devil costumes on, wizard costumes on, and all kind of things of that nature. They're celebrating the Day of the Dead. We're not going to do that here. I know it makes some of y'all a little tight. I know it. Because when I first heard it, I got a little tight. I'm thinking, you know, because I like candy. You know, praise the Lord. I'll put me a sack on and trick-or-treat. And when I got a little older, you know what I mean? I'd run behind a little kid and snatch his bag. Am I the only one ever done that? Praise the Lord. God's forgive me for that. I've repented of that. But you know what I mean? And I didn't see anything wrong with that back in the day. And so many people didn't see anything. But I want to open up your eyes today to tell you what this day really represents. Before we get through today, you will understand the origin of this day and what it represents and why it was brought forth. I got one more scripture here. Ephesians 4:27. When you get to say amen. It says, neither give place to the devil. What that means is, do not open your house, your children, or yourself for the devil to come into your house. Do you know a lot of people are going through trials and tribulations and storms of life because you've opened the door to Satan? See, Satan can't bother you unless you invite him in. A lot of us don't understand how we allowed Satan to come. You come to church every Sunday. You read your Bible. You pray. But there's certain things that you allow in your life and in your house that gives place to the devil. You know, I travel on missionary to Haiti, which is, you know, Satan's backyard. It's his playground. You know, voodoo and all of that type of stuff, that's his playground there. You know, and there's years ago when I was going there, I would buy little things, souvenirs, to bring home from Satan's playground. And I would have it in my house. And I would wonder why all of a sudden things are going wrong in my household. Until I got an understanding of what some of these things represented. Once again, Satan comes as an angel of light. Not knowing. My people perish because of a lack of knowledge. I go to Africa. You know, I'm out in the bush, you know, with the Maasai people. And I brought back some masks and different things like that. But once I really got deep into it to see what these ceremonial masks was, they were ancestral worshiping masks. Oh, didn't realize it. But once I found out, I burned them. I didn't just throw them away. I burnt them. I burnt them. And asked God to forgive me for doing that. But once again, I didn't realize the things, I didn't realize why things were going on in my life. And I'm coming to church, I'm reading my Bible, and I'm praying, but I gave place to the devil. You understand what I'm saying? We have to be careful not to give place to the devil. Pagan holidays, pagan traditions, let me tell you about it. 300 years before Jesus was born, B.C., 300 years before Jesus was born, a civilization of people called the Celtics lived throughout the British Isles, Scandinavian, and Western Europe. They were among a group much like many segments of society today, but they were controlled by a secret society, a priest and pagans called the Druids. The Druids believed in immortality of the soul, worshiping and serving a demonic god of death. Sanhedrin was his name. These satanic priests literally controlled people's lives through the mechanisms of fear and human sacrifice. And much death, disease, and destruction upon the Celtics as a result of the Druids and the priests. Much death, disease, and destruction came upon the Celtics as a result of the Druids and their practices. The practices of what the world is going to be celebrating on the 31st of this month. Each year, October the 31st, the Druids celebrated their pagan god, Sanhedrin, the festival of Sanhedrin, more accurately called the festival of death. That's why I call it the Day of the Dead. Was officially known as, and still is today in some Satanists, occultists, and devil worshipers as the eve of the new years of witchcraft. Satanists, devil worshipers, and those who were in that witchcraft. I'm going to share something with you, and most of y'all know this. I was one of those for many years. I worshiped Satan for many years. I was in the occult for many years. I'm telling you something I know, not nothing I read, church. I was a part of this for many years. Let me tell you something. It is true and it is real. Do you know that right now people are coming into the North Country, especially Watertown, for the 31st of October? People from all around the country and some from around the world. They say here in Watertown, the latitude is lined up on the 31st for those who worship Satan to be the strongest of the year of their powers. They say right up here at the park, there's a portal. And people have been coming here for years. And they're going to be right up off that park on the 31st. Trying to seek the power to bring curses and spells and to get power of Satan. That's happening today. And it's been happening for many, many years. But people don't know about it because it's a secret society. Let me say something about a secret society. God said you should not have no secret society. If you're in something that you can't tell somebody else about, you need to get out of it. You need to get out of it. That's all right. He's getting his preaching voice on. Praise the Lord. You don't care nothing about that. Praise the Lord. Yeah, he's as mad at this stuff as I am. Praise the Lord. He's saying, preach it, Pastor. Preach it, Pastor. Amen. Anyway, each year, October the 31st, the Druids celebrate their pagan god, Samhain. The festival of Samhain, more accurately called the Festival of Death, which officially known and is still recognized today as the Satanist occult. I talked about that. There are three important days of the Satanists. The birthday, the day that they have received Satan as their master, and the 31st of October. Those are the three most important days. Witchcraft powers are at their highest potential level, and witch and occultists who have been having difficulty with their spells or curses have difficulties in their spells and their curses can usually achieve success on October the 31st because Satan and his power are at their best at that night, October the 31st. People who have been trying to curse you, people who are trying to been casting spells on you, we've had them in here throughout the years. There was a place over here on, I think, right down the street from the church, Dr. Strange. He was a occultist. And he was like a priest, a high priest in that occult and Satan worshiping. Thank God that place is gone now over there. He had a tattoo parlor. But let me tell you something. In the back of the tattoo parlor, he had pendulums and all kind of stuff back there. And those Wiccans, people call themselves Wiccans and witches and warlocks, they would have meetings over there on a nightly basis. And that had some come in here. But let me tell you, their power is no good up in here because greater he that is in us than he is in the world. Amen? No demon in hell can affect us for those who are in Christ because we're filled with the Holy Ghost. And if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, there's no room to be filled with nothing else. So praise the Lord. Don't be scared of somebody coming up to you. All that got a little wind or something like that. You know, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Matter of fact, come here, let me lay some hands on you. bring you to church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Get you saved. But anyway, on October the 31st, Halloween is the eve of the new year of the witchcraft. It is the beginning of all that is cold, dark, and dead. When you send your little children out to go trick-or-treating, you're actually teaching them to celebrate all that is cold, dark, and dead, and satanic. But we don't know that, did we? Some of y'all have gone to Walmart and bought costumes and candy. I hope you saved your receipt. Take them back. Take them back. Amen. Y'all can bring the candy and put it in. You know, pastor like a little candy every now and then. You get a little sweet tooth every now and then. Praise the Lord. But anyway, trick or treat. What does trick or treat mean? The Druid priests would go from house to house demanding all sorts of strange foods for their own consumption and to offer later to the Lord Sanhedrin at the festival of death. If the village people did not give them the food they demanded, they would speak a demonic curse over the house. And someone in that family would die within a year. Thus we have trick or treat. That's where that came from. But yet, here we are, going out with our little costumes on, with our little baskets and things of that nature. Trick or treat! The Druids would carry a large turnip that they had hollowed out, and inside a carved face on front of it to represent a demonic spirit. Let me read that again. The Druids would carry with them a large turnip, which they would hollow out on the inside and carve a face in the front of it that represents a demonic spirit. They depend upon this power and knowledge. The spirit is called a familiar spirit. Remember, it talks about in the Bible, do not have anything to do with familiar spirits. And here we are. And it says, the turnip lighted by a candle from within is used as a lantern from the Druids as they went from house to house at night asking for food. And once again, if they didn't get what they requested, they would stand outside your house and would pronounce a spell or a curse on your house. And within a year, somebody of your house would die. And it says, it is believed that the Druids and their familiar spirits would inhabit the turnips and assist them in carrying out the spells spoken over the homes and live for those refusing, lives of those refusing it. Let me tell you a little something else. As a part of the Druids' festival, men and women had to fear not only the departed spirits that would return during the evening, they also had to fear the Druids and the priests themselves. It was a time of mass human sacrifice. Men, women, little children, babies, young and old, innocent, were forced into a huge wooden thatch cage. Often these cages were fashioned in the shape of a giant wicker man. Have you ever heard your kids talk about a wicker man? The wicker man? There's a lot of stuff out here about the wicker man. Matter of fact, it was a couple of teenage girls here years ago that killed one of their friends because they said the wicker man told them to do it. Took her out into the park. Stabbed her, I don't know how many times, 50, 60 times. Because the wicker man told them to do this. This is no joke. This is no joke. Then it says, the wicked man represents Sanhedrin. At the signal from the presiding Druids and priests, these wooden cages will be set on fire, and everyone inside them will burn to cinders. And as they screamed and hollered, and the little children screaming and hollering, the Druids and the priests would dance around and laugh. This is the origin of Halloween. This is what the 31st of October represents, the origin of this year. So why are we celebrating this? Why are we participating in it? But why are we sending our children out to be a part of this here? Church, when you know better, you do better. When you know better, you do better. He who knows to do right and does not do it is accounted to them as sin. You might say, well, you know, I don't see nothing wrong with it, Pastor. You know, my kid, you got the costume and they're looking forward to going out. Let me tell you something. Don't send your kid out, please, because what you're doing is you're opening a door for the enemy to come into your family. Whether you believe that or not is on you. Is on you. When did the practice come to America? In the 18th and 19th century, when the Celtics came over because they had a potato famine. Had a potato famine. So they came, a lot of them came to America. Turnips weren't the prominent vegetable, but we did have a native vegetable in this country that would substitute for turnips. Y'all know what that was? The pumpkin. The pumpkin. They had turnips over there, but when they came here, they didn't have the turnips that they would use for the traditions and the practices of the Day of the Dead. So they came here and they used the pumpkins. The name given to the spirit which inhabited the turnip was Jacques, J-O-C-K. And it said that Jacques was so evil that Satan didn't even want him in heaven, in hell. Said he was so evil that Satan didn't even want him in hell. His name was Jacques. And arriving to America, Jacques became, guess what? Jack. That's where we get Jack-o'-lantern. Jack-o'-lantern. How many of you went and bought pumpkins and carved them out and carved these little demonic things on the front of them and set them on your porch? Got them sitting on your porch right now or in your window. It is clearly seen that there is nothing Christian about Halloween. Nothing. If you call yourself a Christian, there's nothing Christ-like about this Day of the Dead. You know the origin of it now. You know where it came from. You know what this Day of the Dead represents. So it's on you to continue the practices and the traditions of this. Or pray, God, should I have anything to do with this or not? How did he get into the church? Constantine, the emperor of Rome, made a law declaring that everybody was going to be a Christian. He made a law that either you was going to be a Christian or we're going to put you in the Colosseum and let the lions eat you up. So guess what? I'm a Christian. Guess what? I'm a Christian. Huh? Got the big bumper sticker on the back of the chariots. Cut, you know. Can big old Bibles, scrolls. Everybody a Christian now. And so what they said was, you know, you made all of us conform to Christianity. But in our country, in our land, in our culture, we have something that we celebrate. And so we want to continue on. And Constantine said, well, that's fair. If you have to be a Christian, you know, you can still have some of the things that you have been doing for generations and generations. That's how it came into the church. And so here we are, the year of our Lord, 2023, and it's still in the church. As I told y'all, there's churches today that are having costume parties. This past weekend, they had churches that will be in the parking lot. They call it trunk or treat. There's churches that's promoting this accepting this as being okay. But one day, those who are allowing that are going to have to stand before Jesus. One day. Now, there's things that I miss, that I get wrong, that I'm going to have to stand before Jesus for. But once I know the truth and the origins of it, I'm going to let you know it. And like I say, I know some of y'all tight right now saying, boy, I need to get up. If I had known this, I wouldn't come to church today. I know that. I knew that last night. I knew that this morning. But you're here and you're going to hear the truth. But once again, it's on you whether you accept it or not. Some of you will, some of you won't. And I already know that. But let me tell you something. If you call yourself a Christian and you know now the origin and the reason why this day became Halloween, you would leave it alone. You would leave it alone. You say, well, what about, you know, when the kids come knock on my door, just turn your light out and don't answer the door. And all that candy y'all bought? Bring it on up in here. Anyone who knows to do good ought to do it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. If we really desire to honor the Lord in our lives and family, then we must teach our children concerning the truth about this day of the dead. Now, what we do here, we have what we call a harvest party. I know some people say we shouldn't do it because, you know, what we're doing is using this day for something else. But, you know, the Lord of the harvest. And what we do is we have Christian games. We do scriptures. You know, it's all about Christ. The kids go to come down here on Tuesday night. No costumes, no none of that kind of stuff. Let me tell you, in all the years we have been doing this, none of our kids have complained about going out to trick-or-treat. Not one of them. They come down here and have a wonderful time. You know, so we need to show our children that this thing that everybody else on your neighborhood, everybody in your school, you know what I mean, or whatever, we're not going to be a part of that. We're not going to be a part of it. We're not going to give place to the devil in our house. Whatever you do in your house, you know that's on you. But in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do what's right in our house. So today, once again, you've heard the truth. Whether you receive it or not, that's on you. I brought you the truth today. Now, once again, whatever you do with this, that's on you. You know, God has called me to bring forth the Word of God in the Spirit and the truth. And if you don't believe me, check out the origin of Halloween yourself. Check it out yourself. You know that. You know, they have the different games that you do, you know, bobbing for apples and that type of stuff for Halloween. Do you know how that started? The Druids and the priests would have a great big a vessel that they would fill with water. And what they would do is the people that they would kill, they would cut some of them their heads off. They would put it in this big vessel with water. They would take pitchforks and put a things over the eyes so they couldn't see it. And they would take the pitchforks and stick in the thing to see if they could get ahead. That's where that bobbing for apples come from. You don't hear about bobbing for apples too much any day. But back in my day, we used to do it. Yeah, we used to do it back in our day. You know, bob for apples and things. But that's where the origin of that come from. So should we have anything to do with anything like that? Ask yourself if you should. But once again, that's on you. That's on you. If anybody's here today and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you have not accepted Him and have a personal relationship with Him, I'm not talking about knowing about Him. But I'm talking about knowing him for real. Because one day you're going to have to give an account. You're going to say, Lord, I've been to church. I read my Bible. I helped the sick. I've even cast out demons in your name, Lord. And he will tell you, depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, I never knew you. But wait a minute, Lord, I knew you. You might have, but you never had a personal relationship with me. You knew about me. So does Satan and his demons. They believe in God. But do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? If you're sitting here with a doubt, maybe might, I don't know, you can come today and say, Lord, today I surrender my life. So I know that I know that I know I'm rapture ready. I'm rapture ready. Whenever the rapture ready, it comes, Lord, I'm ready to be taken. I don't know, Lord, if the rapture comes, if I will be taken. But you can know for sure today. If anybody here don't know him truly as Lord and Savior, if you have any doubts, because there's not going to be any do-overs if you're left behind. So I'm going to ask here today for every eye to be closed, every head bowed. And if you have any doubt, I'm just going to ask you to pray this prayer with me, because God will meet you in your seat. He'll meet you wherever you are, if you're true about him, if you're real about him. I'm just going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you today. I'm confessing I am a sinner. I'm asking you to forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. This day, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross and he shed his blood for my sins. He rose again on the third day. And he's seated in heaven next to our Heavenly Father. This day I accept this free gift of salvation by faith in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, if you prayed that prayer, and let me tell you something, your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have an inheritance. And where I am, you will be also. And we always know where he is. He's with our Father. Amen. Least of all, I can't tell you how much I appreciate all the cards, the gift cards. I tell you, the greatest gift that y'all have given me, this gift that you can give any pastor, is the seeing you living for Jesus and living your life for Jesus. So I want to thank you. Thank you, you know, for your blessings and, like I said, and your prayers and different things of that nature there. God bless you, and everybody have a great day. Amen.